home repair.
Blog Talk Radio.
Whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media connection. Just follow this link. And tomorrow, you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you. And Grand Rising, thank you all for joining us on this Tuesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our dear sister, Asada. And we are gathering with the Griots. So today, we're going to gather with the Griots with Naima. But we're excited because we've got a special guest, and we want you to enjoy this conversation. So we invite you to call in because we're going to be talking to Natalie Battles of the Healing Academy. Healing is what we do, and it's so exciting to have someone who is going to take us on a journey so that we understand the power that we have to heal. You can call in 727-731-5192 because we want to talk to you. You know that we're also on our blog talk channel, 515-605-9325. But we always want to hear from you. So if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, then we certainly invite you to add your comments. This is someone you should know. Natalie Battles has won some battles. And so she is
one that is here to share her story. We're excited that she's a part of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair Network. And Gathering of the Grills is a radio TV show that breathes literary life into the airwaves from the Soulful Chicago Book Fair world. It lends a chance to hear our stories from our point of view, our benefit. So we want to share with you this very important message. If we bring on our guest, Miss Natalie Battles. And for those who are not familiar with the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, you need to know that this is an event that's held several times during the year, and it gives you an opportunity to meet some of the very powerful communicators that have put their stories in book form, whether it's physical or even audio or digital. But it's a story that gives us some insight. Natalie Battles is someone you need to know who can be a source of inspiration. Natalie Battles' mission is to shine a light on the truth and the beauty and greatness of the melanated people and culture. Her purpose is to restore melanated people to their former greatness and to encourage them to walk in their power. We're going to talk to Natalie in detail about all of her endeavors and how she got connected to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. But first, let's take a look at what her work and the features of her literary event on March 9th are all about. And this is an event that we want you to attend, because it's all about healing. And all of us need to heal. So let us take a look at Natalie Battles, part of the Gathering of the Grills. And we're excited because she has taken the time, put her wisdom into words. So let's take a look at Natalie Battles and the Healing Academy.
My name is Natalie Battles, and I am the co-founder of the amazing Healing Academy. Our mission is to transform urban communities by offering education that transforms the whole body, inspires the whole mind, and fulfills the entire soul. Hello, I am Dion Victoria Milton. I am the co-founder for the Healing Academy. We really focus on educating the whole family. So we start with our children and after-school programming, but we also offer workshops and other programming for the families. For me, the Healing Academy is super important because, me personally, I feel I was failed by the Chicago public school system. Growing up here in Chicago, specifically on the south and west sides of Chicago, the education system does not get what it deserves, so therefore the children and the families and the community at large does not get what it deserves.
By third grade, I had been to 7 different schools in several different neighborhoods, so I knew that depending on where you live and what type of resources was available in your neighborhood, you got a different education. I didn't think that was right when you can't necessarily determine where you're going to live when you're born. It's not your decision being born. So everybody deserves access to the same thing. So the Healing Academy is going to change that, not only here in Chicago, but nationally and internationally. And we're going to do that by providing all the classes, all the workshops, all the programming that we do around our 6 pillars, which we call our formula for success. And that is social-emotional learning, spirituality, literacy, history, health, and art, of course. Can't not have art.
The Healing Gala and Art Auction. I'm an artist as well, so I understand the power of art and how it is actually a healing tool. I've actually talked to someone who attended this past year and told me it changed her. She realized that she could be an artist again, seeing the grace in the room, like, wow, that person getting awards, that person, wait a minute, that's my mentor, wait a minute, I can do this, I can be an artist, I can be creative, and I can change the world by being who I am. And that's part of why we do what we do. Being able to showcase and honor the people that are doing the work on a daily basis within our community that don't normally get a chance to be highlighted or honored. Unfortunately, the community workers and the activists and the individuals in the streets, in the trenches, are the last ones to get a thank you or an award. We get to share their platforms, their businesses, their organizations, and we get to let people know that these spaces and places are available for our everyday healing, our everyday work. And that's very important to me. The Healing Academy is going to change the world through education because it changes you from the inside out, through experiences, through family connections. And I'm not just talking about blood family. I'm just talking about being in space together, holding space for each other. That's how we heal. When we create space for one another, when we communicate with ourselves, with our peers, when we work together, when we work in unison for healing, that is the Healing Academy. That is what we stand on.
The Healing Academy. Healing from the inside out. That's an important concept because there's so much healing that needs to happen. And one of the things that Natalie said, which definitely hits a note with all of us, is that you get a different kind of education depending on what side of town you're on. You can get the message that you are powerful and creative and intelligent and able to lead the world. Or you could get the message that you are destined for struggle and disrespect and powerlessness for the rest of your life. And you can grow up in a state of despair and hopelessness, depending on the message that you get. And as a child, you're going to believe whatever information comes to you. So it's our responsibility to empower our children with a sense of capability that they can create the reality they want to experience, and not to make them feel like helpless victims based on other people's opinions of who they are and what they can become. It's our responsibility to change the impression that our children are given, often by educators who have been conditioned to see them as lesser than. It's our responsibility. So we thank Natalie for creating the Healing Academy. There are many who are saying that the key to our changing the conditions that we're experiencing is for us to create institutions that are designed to uplift, inspire, motivate, and prepare our children to take a position of leadership in the world in which they live. We must create the institutions. Nobody's going to do this for us. We must do it for ourselves. And so Natalie Battles is one that is setting an example of how to do it for yourself. This is what all of us need to do, to make a decision to make a difference. So if you just tuned in, I'm Naima Lateef, and you're watching Gathering of the Griots. And today, I, Naima Lateef, is sitting in for our dear sister, Asada, who will be back next Tuesday. Important business to handle today. And we're grateful that the network of Soulful Chicago Book Fair authors, is readily available to share their wisdom each Tuesday as we share our collective goal of transforming the world in which we live. We have the power to do that. We do it every day. And we're grateful that you're with us. And Asabi Carroll says, we agree, sis. Yes, yes, absolutely. We know that we have the power to transform our world. And we can lead our children into a brighter future that they're going to help create based on what we put in their minds, hearts, and spirits. So thank you, Asabi, for joining us. And we're so grateful that we have a legacy of educators and activists, communicators, who can change the narrative that we hear so that we can see the world differently and we can see ourselves differently. So we invite you to join our conversation. We're going to be talking to Natalie Battle of the Healing Academy in just a little while. And, of course, we want you to go to her website, www.wehealheal.org, for more empowering information. This is always an opportunity to share the triumphs and victories of those among us. If we want to know how we fix the problem, all we need to do is find each other. Because we're right here creating solutions every day. And it's exciting to know that you can be a part of that process. So take a look at some more of the work that's being done that is changing the world in which we speak. And as we speak it into existence, so is it. So many people are making a difference. And we want to make sure that you know who they are. So let's take a look at those who are lifting as they climb.
When we first published Lifting as They Climbed in 2018, there was one thing we knew for sure. We knew that there were more Black women's stories we had to tell. What started out as a guidebook featuring 48 Black women in one tour now features 78 women, 5 tours, new maps, and additional mini tours. The most exciting and important new element of the book is the inclusion of a West Side tour of Black women's stories. We want to find evidence of Black women's labor and contributions in the landscape of where we work, live, and love. This is a commitment that we want to practice through this book, and we hope that you will take the journey with us through Lifting as They Climbed, Mapping a History of Trailblazing Black Women in Chicago.
And if you have not yet gone to the website, we want you to go to www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com so you can become acquainted with so many of the authors that are making a difference, such as Natalie Battles, who's got an upcoming event that you need to be there. You need to be there. And again, go to www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com. WeHealHeal.org. And we want you to prepare to think in terms of how you can be a part of the efforts to transform the world in which we live. It's not enough to just not be pleased with things as they are. The energy that we put forth will determine what we receive. And if we can see it, we can be it. If we can see the triumph over adversity, if we can overcome the pain of the past, if we can forgive ourselves for our mistakes, if we can learn from the wisdom of the elders, we can create a new earth. That's why we're here. That's why we're all here. And we're all part of this process of creating change. We want you to be a part of that change as well. And we've got people who are, in fact, adding to this powerful position of creating a new world. And let us take a look at more. And again, we want to remind you of the ongoing Tuesday show gathering of the Grill that you can be a part of if you are an author. Be a part of this Soulful Chicago Book Fair Network so that you can also have an impact. Now let's take a look at someone else you should know.
Hello, my name is Pamone Rami, and I'm here to discuss my new book, When Blackness Was Golden, Observations from the Front Line. I was inspired to write this book because I felt it was important to document an era which should be known as the Black Chicago Renaissance. Also a retrospective of Chicago during the 1950s through the 1980s. A coming-of-age story of a young man growing up in Chicago encapsulated by the body politic of the Civil Rights Movement, student movement, the Black Arts Movement, Black theater, Black film, and the movements that they inspired. It also draws attention to some of the people who made major contributions. It's a love story about two teenagers that met in the late 60s, joined together to make a positive impact on the world in which they found themselves. Famously married and a family helped to create a cultural paradigm shift. I hope you'll buy a copy of the book, When Blackness Is Golden. And after you read it, I hope you'll be motivated to tell your own story, study our history, and always speak up, define yourself, and demand equity for yourself and others, no matter what your career or the direction of your life path takes.
When Blackness Was Golden, now available for pre-order on Amazon. Yes, and this is an author that you need to know. So, of course, we want you to be a part of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair Network of brilliant authors that are making a difference. And we've got our dear Mama Joy, who says, love you, author Rami. Yes, if you know this man, he is a powerful voice, and he is an inspirational voice. It's always a benefit when we can share our wisdom, and there are so many that are willing to put their stories in print, so that they are a testimony that lives forever. And you are tuned in to Gathering of the Grill. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Asada. And our guest is Natalie Battles of the Healing Academy, who will be joining us shortly. And once again, we want to invite you to be a part of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair Network if you are an author. And if you're thinking about writing a book, we want you to go to the website because you need to create something that can last forever. Knowledge is something that is passed down generation to generation to generation. And you can be one of those whose words live on and on and on. So we're grateful for those who are going to share with us today. And we look for Natalie Battle of the Healing Academy to inspire you. We want you to go to her website, www.wehealheal.org. Now, to join this conversation, we invite you to call in 727-731-5192 because we want to talk to you. And we appreciate all of you who've joined us on Facebook and YouTube. We're on multiple channels every day. And today you can find us on the Soulful Chicago Book Fair Facebook and YouTube channels, as well as the Asada's Facebook and YouTube, the Female Solution Facebook pages. And we want you to share Spread the Knowledge. And that's how we inspire. So if you are considering joining the Soulful Chicago Book Fair Network, then we want you to go to the website and feel free to contact Asada, wonderful creator of this magnificent group of people who are making a difference. And if you are aware of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, then you need to be there. There is an upcoming event, and we certainly do want you.
The Soulful Book Fair Foundation. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation provides programming, training, and literary opportunities for Black themed writers and their readers while increasing exposure and access to culturally relevant literature in Black communities. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation is built on four pillars. Enhance the Black literary marketplace, bolster training and marketing for Black writers, archive Black stories and literary experiences, and foster writing and telling of stories through Black youth. Our signature book has showcased over 350 authors. Still, there are not enough opportunities for Black writers to promote their work. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation helps to enhance the Black literary marketplace and provide avenues for authors to gain exposure and sell their books. Everyone has a story to tell. For those people courageous enough to become authors, we help guide them through the process of building a business around their books. From effectively presenting at them to maximizing social media.
Learn what that is. Learn what it's going to be. How to use the house to market to it. So I think that is what made me. I didn't start out. I think I bought about 80 books. And I sold like 68. So I think that was really, really good.
We offer training and marketing to help Black authors so they can confidently develop fruitful literary career. Understanding the past allows one to map out the future. We preserve the story behind the storytelling of activists, writers, leaders, and youth in the Black community through state-of-the-art videography produced by the media partner of the Soulful Book Fair Foundation, OM Productions International. We transform history into our story.
I purchased my first property at 19 years old, and I have done more than 20 deals since then. I can teach you too. Come visit me at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair.
Myth. Children today do not read and write as much as we did in the past. Children today actually read and write more than we used to because they post and text as their primary form of communication. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation creates opportunities for young people to share their stories through special workshops.
So it's our African tradition to have special programs like this. You usually or always begin that work in 5 days before our kids are in our family. He was recruiting enslaved Africans for 5 years in Charleston, South Carolina to take over that city.
Book Fair Foundation, and you need to be a part of it if you're an author. We've got some callers on the line, and so let's go to our phone lines. We've got Mama Joy, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, well, Grand Rising, I tell you, that Mrs. Sada is amazing.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
It is amazing, and I really love what she's doing, and I'm so proud of Female Solutions, you know, and now I see that you are tapping into our young people, and that to me is not just great, but really delicious, because so many places now, our children have no place.
You don't find children in the churches. You don't find them. Even in the youth organizations, they're scarce now. So I really applaud you all for being able to round up these young people and give them space. Give them space to be promoted and to be loved.
Yes.
And let them know that there is a place and that they're needed and valued. So, you know, hats off to Freedom of Solution. In fact, you're amazing too.
Well, Mama Joy, we couldn't do it without you, because you are one of the amazing communicators that we can hear every second Saturday here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. So we appreciate you for sharing your wisdom with us every second Saturday. And we've got your statement here on the screen here. It says you love the Rami promote and you trust the Female Solution to stand strong in creating solutions and opportunities that elevate and heal our communities locally and globally. Yes, that is our goal, and thank you for being a part of the solution. You know, I look at a lot of our young people, and they come into this world with the ability to envision things differently. If we would just listen to them more, I think we would be more inspired and hopeful, because they are highly intelligent. And if we would let them, they could really help in this effort.
You're so correct. And I think that we are gradually learning that. We are gradually as a people, because there's, you know, all individuals are not on the same level in every aspect, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, mentally. But I can see that we are growing. Sometimes we forget where we come from in terms of the struggle. You know, when I was a child working in my grandmother's grocery store, just a short story. And this was in the 40s. I was born in this store, so I worked all my life. I realized that helping my grandmom, there were people coming in, and they would get things on consignment or get it on the, put their names on the list. And it was necessary for you to sign off if you were getting bread or milk or whatever items of food you were getting from the store. And if you didn't have the money, you would get on the list, and you would sign your name and then pay, you know, as you go. At some point, put it on the tab. And then in time, you'll pay it. And there were some individuals, many individuals, I should say, who came with their grandchildren, or their children, mostly the time it's the grandchild. And Naima, all they could put on the paper was an X.
Oh, wow.
Because they did not know how to write their names. And I'm beginning to find out, as Rami was speaking, sometimes we measure people according to our time and our era in life, and not knowing that there are those who came from a far deeper deficit than we did, had wonderful hearts, did not even have the ability to write their names. And their grandchild would write their names for them. Or their children would write their names for them, because they could not. When I was born, there were still over 3,000 ex-slaves still alive.
Wow.
And I was telling a young man, yeah, still alive, which means their voices, their stories, the vibrations of their presence were still there. And I'm from New Orleans. New Orleans was like the slave capital of the United States. So
wow.
I didn't even realize until I came to Chicago that I was born in a servant's quarter.
Wow.
A community that was built so that the workers, the service could not be too far from where they were working. And so it, I was raised there, and really it never, no one really told me that. I learned that after I came to Chicago because I didn't know the whole story. And so I'm going back to the story about signing their names. And during that time, you had the Red Tails, Fly Airmen.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Mama Joy,
right.
hold that thought for just 1 second. Because we want to, for those who don't remember that, because that is a powerful piece of history. But hold that thought just a second. I'm gonna keep you on. We're about to bring on our guests, and we want you to be a part of this conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So hold on. Don't go anywhere. And for those who are watching, of course, we encourage you to write in your comments. For those who are listening, certainly we will bring you into the conversation. And you are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, and this is Gathering of the Griots. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Asada, and we've got a fantastic guest today, someone you should know. Natalie Battle's mission is to shine a light on the truth and the beauty and greatness of melanated people and culture. Her purpose, draw melanated people to their former greatness and to encourage them to walk in their power. So now we're about to talk to Natalie in detail about all of her endeavors and how she got connected to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. And so let us welcome to the show this morning our wonderful guest, a brilliant woman that you need to know. And you need to make sure you come to her upcoming event because we're most certainly excited to hear more about it. Welcome to Gathering of the Griots, Natalie Battle! Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Hey. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you. And we've been looking at some of your videos and the work that you've been doing. And we're excited because our focus is always bringing people who are bringing solutions. So how did you get involved with the Soulful Chicago Book Fair? Uh-oh, wait a minute. I think, check your mute. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Okay, let's see. All right, let me make sure that we can hear your voice. Make sure that you did hit that your system can use your audio. We want to make sure that we hear all you have to say. Now let's see. Yes, and while we're working on audio, we want to make sure that you all are ready to attend the upcoming event that is going to feature Natalie Battles. And, of course, for those who are not in and around the Chicagoland area, come on down. Yeah, it's just a few hours' drive away. So we'll certainly be looking forward to having you as part of this process. And we want to take a look at some of these slides that can help you in the process of learning what you need to know so that you can heal. And we've got a few comments that have joined us. Michelle Rania says, good morning. I, too, love the work of the Female Solution. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our community benefits from the strong and impactful voices. The topics I hear are real and relevant. The bridges being built between the youth and the elders are necessary. Thank you for all you do. And thank you, Michelle, for tuning in and adding your voice And Michelle says, the Soulful Chicago Book Fair and Gathering of the Grills is important to the continuation of the literature and literary and to promote the historical and temporary stories of Black people. Yes. Yes, we must. And Michelle also adds, let the elder sister finish her story. It was interesting. Yes, we're going to do that. So Mama Joy, as you were telling us about the, while we're working on Natalie's audio, Mama Joy, if you can continue, I think they were called the Red Tails, the Tuskegee Airmen.
The Tuskegee Airmen, right, you know, and that's another story too. But during that time I was speaking about, and welcome, Natalie, to the show, so we can't wait until this technical is cleared, and you can be assured that Naima will get you in on with us. We're so excited to have you. Can't wait to hear your voice as well. But in the meantime, let me just be a filler in until that straightens up. And so my
you got a lot of wisdom to fill in, so we appreciate that. Yes. You are living.
Well, we all have that.
Yes.
We do have an amazing guest. I am just so honored just to be in this place in the same breath for a time. Yeah, yeah, you know, during the 40s, we don't realize that when the Tuskegee Airmen, whose story was really attempted to be buried, because they were the first top guns in the Air Force. When we see that story, the movie, Top Gun, it was the Black Airmen, the Red Tails, were the first to win the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And they found the trophy. They denied the picture until one of the airmen found his picture, bless his heart. And the trophy was found by a cleaning woman somewhere in the basement, in the base, in the Air Force base. So she found it. She says, this is unbelievable. But I guess they didn't realize they should have destroyed it, but God didn't let them do that, honey. And so the truth came out. And so we have so much to be grateful for. During that time, Naima, because the whole point of the story, of my intentions, I should say, is if we would look in increments of how we have progressed as a people, we will find out that we have a very strong foundation right here. You know, I'm a spiritual leader, and so I'm looking for Natalie's story. When the Red Tailsmen were here, when the Tuskegee Airmen were there, under the teachings of George Washington Carver, you know, the plant doctor, who never used a textbook, he taught them from his own wisdom and what God gave them.
Yes.
And when Thomas Edison had offered him $100,000 to come and work with him, but he chose to go to Tuskegee because he felt that that place was in much more need than he was. But that era, we only had 3% college graduates and people who had entered this college. Check it. It's a fact. 3% of us had completed college. Now, look where we are now. And sometimes we don't know how we have gradually increased our rise. And because we don't know our story, we can't value it. And the spirit in which it was founded and the love that was there is lost because of us going through so many changes and urgencies and thank you for that video you did in the console. That brother was saying, where are the Black people?
Mm.
No one in the console. You were there on air. You were there. On air was there.
Yes.
We've got to show up.
Yes.
Show up in a big time and understand that we have a wonderful history, but just look, take it bit by bit. What happened in the 40s? What happened in the 50s? Where were we in the 60s? Where were we in the 70s? Yes, it's great to go back to Africa, but where were we? And what stages of our development right here in America? Are you about ready yet? Is Miss Natalie Faye? Is she ready yet?
She hasn't come back yet. But, you know,
you know what, another
she's working on. Oh, wait a minute. Here she is. I think we're going to try it again.
Okay.
But, you know, you said something that's really a critical point. There are so many people who did some fantastic things and were not college educated. We need to remember that, because brilliance is inborn, and we need to honor those, whether they have a degree and a title or not, because they have life experience. And sometimes that is more powerful and empowering than someone with a degree but doesn't have a sense of independence to figure out how to do things for themselves. So you definitely
had
a great point.
Yes. They had a sense of that divine power within themselves. They had that of confidence in what and who they are. And they were not defined, allow themselves to be defined by those individuals outside of themselves.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's
right.
What we have to do. Get
that's
in touch with the real spirit of light.
Spirit of life.
The real spirit.
Speaking of the spirit of life, I think we've got our spirit back with us with Natalie.
Yes,
I hear the voice.
Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Things I do on this
Welcome, week. Welcome, Natalie. I'm off now.
But thank you, Mama Joy, for giving us that insight. And, of course, we appreciate you always. And make sure you all listen in the second Saturday. You're coming up. Well, before you go, Mama Joy, what's the topic this coming Saturday on your show?
Well, we're going to be, well, you know, it's walking your authority. That's what we're now. Walking your authority, as we're encouraging even this young lady to coming on today to walk in her power and authority. And we're hoping for our guest, Jamaica, to come and to share with us how she walked through an alley and a lounge chair spoke to her, and she went back to it. That's going to be something. And she upholstered it. And for 10 years, she's been teaching others how to do upholstery, giving children an additional lift in that, and healing through that. So on that note,
all
take
right.
it away, Miss Natalie. Love you.
All right. Love you, Mama
Joy. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom.
Yes. Wow. Well, Miss Natalie Battles, you are someone we are happy to have met. And now we want to introduce you to the world. For those who have not yet met Natalie Battles, you need to know about her and the Healing Academy. So now tell us how you came to be connected to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair.
Well, really, really early on, the very first Soulful Chicago Book Fair, actually before the very first Soulful Chicago Book Fair, I had the pleasure of meeting Asada. She was coming from New York and getting ready to do that very first Soulful Chicago Book Fair, and I had the pleasure of interviewing her on a radio show called Teen Talk Radio Theater, produced by Pimon Rami and Masekwa Myers. And I was the host of the show, and we talked about the book fair and what it would be and the goals and the reach and what it means. And so really early on, I was blessed to meet her as she was getting ready to start and launch the Soulful Chicago Book Fair.
Oh, that is fascinating. Yes. So we're all family here, definitely, you know, getting involved in the process. So now tell us about the Healing Academy.
Yes. My baby. baby going on 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
I'm out in the house now. So the Healing Academy is an arts and education-based nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
I am co-founder along with Dion Victoria, a co-founder. And we started the Healing Academy out of both the love for education and knowing the need for proper education, not only here in Chicago, but in general. And so that was something that we bonded on very early on. And we, from that moment, started spearheading and working together to create this. It officially started in, the talk started in 2016, but it officially launched as 501c3 in 2019. And we've been running ever since. So we operate off of six pillars, which is health, spirituality, history, art, literacy, and health. And so we do everything around those six pillars. So classes, workshops, programming for all ages, from newborn babies all the way to the elders and everybody in between, because our goal is to transform communities by working with and healing the entire family. So we're working to open community centers and schools, pre-K through 12th grade, where we can truly educate our young people and then re-educate us as adults.
Well, that is powerful. And, you know, one of the things that we are always saying is that if we can use the creative talents of our children, we can reach them in so many spiritual ways.
Okay.
So
that's why spirituality is one of our pillars. We wanted to make sure that, and it's not attached to any one religion, but we need to make sure that we know that we are spirits living in a body. And how do we educate? How do we connect to that spirit within us?
Yes. So now your book, Lifting as They Climbed.
So this one isn't mine, but this is one of our amazing authors. And I advertise this book any chance I get. I think I'm actually out of town. I was advertising this, but because it is so good. You would think it was my book. But, I love it so much. So this is Essence McDowell. This is a queen sister who is absolutely phenomenal, who I got a chance to meet along with so many other great individuals when I was working at the Southside Community Arts Center. If you know, shout out to the Southside Community Arts Center.
Yes.
An amazing space. So I was office manager, career guide, docent, program director,
The
things, you know, small nonprofit life for many, many years. And Essence was one of the amazing people that I got a chance to meet there, actually along with my co-founder of the Healing Academy, Matt, there as well.
That is wonderful. You know, like spirits attract each other. So we cross paths because we're all on the same path, which is for the enlightenment of humanity and certainly for the healing of those who have been injured by unloving behavior and treatment. So you have an event coming up on March 24th.
Yes. And so Essence is one of our authors. So Between the Pages is a literary discussion, an emerging experience where we're partnering with several organizations and people. So, of course, Soulful Chicago this year, as you can see. But also we're partnering with the at Mandrake Park on 38th in Cottage Grove. We're also partnering with Chicago Police Department, so both the CPDs.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic.
And they did a book drive for us. And so just last week, they dropped off so many books for all ages. So adults, teenagers, babies, books, so many books. So we'll be giving away free books to the community. We'll also be giving people the opportunity to check out Mandrake Park because it is a beautiful park space with a theater, a dance studio, and just so many different amenities and spaces and clubs that you can join. But our amazing authors, I mentioned Essence McDowell, but Pimon Rami, as you see here, and Masaquan Myers, who I mentioned a little earlier, who are both my mentors, have been my mentors since I was 15 years old.
Wow.
I said, where would I be without you?
Wow.
Along with Asada there. But this book is so phenomenal. So if you all have not checked out When Blackness Was Golden or Lifting as They Climb by Essence McDowell, please be in the space because both of them will be doing readings and excerpts of their books. So you get to hear a little bit about the book, but not only about the book, about their experience writing the book. You can ask some questions about their process, about the book, about their life, which I think is really, really a phenomenal opportunity. One, because specifically Pamon Rami, but also Essence McDowell and the rest of the authors that will be involved are phenomenal. So if you can get a chance to pull their ear and ask some questions and get advice or just to hear their process, that's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
This check that you all see, though. I'm like, hold on, why is this check here on the check? So this check, the Healing Academy actually just recently, just a few weeks ago, very, very new, was honored by the City of Chicago and Mayor Brandon Johnson, the inaugural. So this is the first ever time this grant and this award has been given to any organization. But it was given to us, and we are so blessed to be chosen and to be honored. And We were highlighted at the Black History Month Center, so the mayor was there, all the alder people, senators.
Nice.
It was a really great space. And we were completely surprised. We had no idea.
Wow.
We just kind of thought we got, I know from my end, we just got a DK's grant. And I was like, yes, this is a DK's grant. And that we were just invited to this dinner. But actually, the dinner was to present us with this huge check and this huge honor and award. And so we were really, really blessed for the healing work and the community work that we do, which just, of course, motivated us even more to keep going. And it's just the beginning. But we are so thankful to the city of Chicago and Mayor Brandon Johnson. Also, Rave Inglewood nominated us for
this
award. So shout out to Rave
for
considering us and thinking of us and seeing the work that we do, because we see the work that they do for sure. And so really appreciate it. And we were selected out of many organizations to receive this award.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And for those who are listening, we have on the screen a check for $10,000 to the Healing Academy. And it's a cultural grant presented during Black History Month. So there you go. It's, sometimes you think people aren't watching, but they are. And they do see and they do appreciate. And every now and then we experience some appreciation in a way that is very helpful. So, yes. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about some of the work that you're doing with the Healing Academy that earned you that gift and some of the upcoming things that you plan to do. So we'll be right back, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call. You can call us at 727-731-5192. We also got some callers on our Blog Talk radio channel at 515-605-9325. And, of course, you can press 1 and you're ready to speak. And we're going to come right back. And Michelle wanted to make a comment about Mama Joyce. She said, Mama Joyce, you have the opportunity to hear in the stories over the 3,000 ex-slaves you mentioned. Ooh, have they been written anywhere that you know about? You know what? A lot of time.
Congress, actually. I was just watching the documentary on Reconstruction, and Congress had several opportunities where they interviewed former slaves when they were slaves, and then afterwards, during the Reconstruction era, on the terrors they were experiencing in the South. So Congress may have a lot of testimonies, firsthand accounts.
I mean, you almost can't even imagine, but you sort of can, because there are places where the behavior, the treatment is almost as oppressive. But we'll be right back to talk about healing from so much of what we have experienced so that we can create a healthy, nurturing environment that our children can grow from and create. We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away as we bring on a message from our elders from the Soulful Chicago Book Fair.
And now they went back to the village with the golden box. He set the golden box and gathered the children as you are gathered now. He opened that box and stories just thrust out of the box.
This is why we are here, because people like to give it up for the young people today. They can give it up better than that ago.
Hi, I'm Lauren Cress Love. I'm the sister of the late Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, author of the ISIS Papers and the Cress Theory on Color Confrontation. We're Chicago natives, and to honor her legacy, I'll have her books at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, Saturday, July 16th, 2016. Be there.
Black Fairy is in this book. And young John Henry, here was for me, but young John Henry. And Bedwood Pick, Black Cowboy. So these are three plays that are in this book, which has been used by a lot of groups, universities,
I'm Joyce Clark. I'm 92 years old, and I have written books for black girls so that they know how important they are, and they learn the mystery to their history. I'm going to be at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, and I want to see you there.
Saturday, August 3rd, 2019.
Yes, the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. Well, and, you know, I'm grateful to have met so many authors there. I'm looking at this sister, says she's 92 years old. And you can imagine what she has seen in her life and have lived almost during that time when not too long after the enslavement experience, but we're still going through a lot of the process of changing the way we relate to our children. And of course, you know, Asada wrote the Beating Black Kids book.
Yeah,
we're still unlearning those very devastating behaviors that crush the spirit in our children. What are some of the activities that you engage in your organization's work, and what are some of the challenges that you've observed even in working with young people?
I had to breathe on that one. So we do a lot in trying to reach our young people, and I believe it's working. We have the evidence of working with the young people and their shift even in a small amount of time on the changes within them, which is one of the most beautiful things, and it definitely encourages you to keep doing the work because a small amount of time can make a change. Imagine what a consistent amount of time can do. But, again, not just those young people, but the elders and everyone in between as well. And so we do after-school programming. We do summer camps. We do spring break camps. We do, again, a lot of our own programming. We recently received our CTS vendor's license, and so now we get a chance to go into CTS schools and work with the young people in that same way, but also the staff. We do professional development training and healing workshops for the staff, the teachers, administration, and the parents. Because, again, it's not just about reaching those young people. It's about reaching those people who are with those young people on a day-to-day basis and every day, all day. But we do a social-emotional learning workshop. I'll speak to the one that I do in particular. It's called Feeling of Art. And so I started it in a way with my high schoolers back when I was actually doing African Matters and instructing Teen Talk Theater program. And I pulled things that are really people, one being monologue writing, another one being expressive ways to take poetry and dance and music and express themselves through struggles that they were facing. Because too many times I don't think we truly listen to our young people, and they are crying to be heard. Another form of punishment or a disconnect is we silence them. We tell them to speak when you're spoken to. You know, we tell them to stay in the child's place, which, again, is rightful, respectful, and all of that. But we don't listen to them. We mute them for so long. And then when they become adults, we expect them to be able to communicate and advocate for themselves and do all of these things when we have silenced them their entire lives.
Yeah.
Sit down, be quiet, you know, all these things. In school, at home, in between, we silence them. So to give them an opportunity to express themselves in a way that they choose. So we go through dance with them, we go through poetry, it is rapping, it is singing, it is acting, even if their art form isn't presenting those things, but organizing those things. So I allow them the opportunity to be the sound engineer. So maybe it's creating a playlist of music that supports the performances that the other children are doing or teenagers are doing. Maybe it being the director of the show. So I take a back seat and I teach them the ways to do it and just step in when they need guidance. But I allow them to direct the show. What should go before what and why? Does that tell a story? Does the pieces link in together? So giving them tools to express themselves through different forms of art, whether it's performing or organizing those performances in a way or supporting those performances in a way. And it really allows them the opportunity, one, to, again, express themselves, which is something that our young people are lacking, to ask questions, to take leadership, which we always say that about our young people, right? They need leadership. They need to step up. But are we giving them the opportunity to write what that looks like?
Yeah.
Right? Because they will if you teach them,
yes.
if you give them the opportunity to do so. So to see them step into leadership and really take on these things, to give them that voice, and also to allow them to express those parts of themselves that they feel like they can't to the world. So not just telling it, but we put on shows, and we invite their families, and we invite the community at large, and we say, okay, now say what you need to say, and they have to listen.
Michelle says, kudos to you, Natalie Battle, for your amazing work. Yes, I echo that sentiment. Somebody's got to give our children a voice.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, during the times that I spent in the classroom with students, sometimes the frustrations they're going through, I'm thinking, how are you able to come to school and act like everything is normal and you're going through all this turmoil in your household, and
we have no idea about some
no
of them are hungry,
idea.
Some of them are
been
not
put out the house, you know, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
It's on the streets, they have to pad and dodge to get to school. Like, you know, it's so many things that with working with these young people, specifically in the monologue writings, and they laugh, my students, they like, oh, Ms. Natalie's going to get you. She's going to make you cry because I'm not going to allow you to write about stuff. I'm not going to allow you to be like, oh, my boyfriend, oh, my girlfriend, we're so happy. No, tell me the real. What are you experiencing? And that's that social-emotional learning part, even adults, because, again, it's about teaching these babies for real, but also re-educating us.
Yeah.
It's easy to just go, oh, everything's fine. But is it?
But it's not.
When we say, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay, everything good? No, it's not. You just was stressed out in the couple of you walked in here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are we checking in on our feelings? Are we acknowledging them? Do we know what these feelings mean? And how do we accurately express these feelings without attacking others, right? And so that's the social-emotional learning part. We're creating these pieces and we're going through these, but not only do I do it with the middle schoolers, the high schoolers, I do it with the babies. I did one, I think it was like 3 to maybe 10. So within that age group, and we partnered with Brown Books and Paintbrushes, who
have
a marvelous space over in South Shore, talking about literacy. Baby, that play space is amazing. Every time you go, you get a free black book.
Nice.
I try to give my son the choice, but I'm looking at the books too, like, sir, I think you want this one.
So now, what is a common theme that you hear often when young people express what's distressing them? What's a common thing that maybe adults are missing, we're not realizing it, maybe we're doing that is upsetting for them, something you hear often?
That is the common stressor, the adults.
Oh.
The common stressor is the adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's the adults in their life. And it goes on both ends. So issues may be handling parents. My mom's not listening to me, or she's giving me, you know, too much responsibility over my siblings, and I'm parenting them. It may be, you know, father's aggression. It may be teachers not listening to them. It's really they feel unheard and they feel unsafe in their spaces where they're supposed to.
Yeah.
because it's not just the parents. Sometimes parents can be fine, but then they come to school and they're being yelled at and they're not being listened to. They're being shunned. They're being set up. They're getting in trouble for things they didn't do. And they're like, these teachers, they just don't hear me. They just, and it's the adult. Almost, I would say about 95% of the time, it's an adult in their life that is doing something or not hearing them or being that wall for them in their life. And that's the part that we have to grapple with. But if we're not listening to them, we'll never know.
Do you think that adults spend too much time hollering at children rather than listening?
That's the toodaloo thing. And this is why with the Healing Academy, our goal isn't just to work on those babies, because, again, they have to go in these households. They have to go into these school buildings. They have to be in these spaces. It's to work with us, because there's so much that we are. So a lot of the issues that we're seeing, when we always come for the younger generation. In every generation, we're coming for the younger generation. Oh, these kids doing this, they doing that. But where are they getting from?
Yeah, where they learn it?
Coming from. They didn't just come out this way. They're learning.
Right. We did this. We did this. Yeah.
Who did it? Who taught us?
Wow.
And so for me, it's that piece. It's, okay, hearing these young people, seeing what they're going through, and allowing them the space to be expressive and create, and to sometimes say things they've never said out loud. Right? And that's all, it gets me emotional, because it's literally things that they've never said to anyone.
What's the thing that shocked you that you heard, you know, once a child was able to actually say it? He said that. What's the thing that you can remember that surprised even you that came out of their mouth?
I'll give two examples over my time. And, again, I've been working with young people in this way even before the Healing Academy was established. And so actually both of these I'm going to give actually was precursors. But doing similar work, healing through the art, and that social emotional learning and activism piece. And one young lady, broke my heart, was sexually assaulted. And she had never told anyone, but she felt comfortable enough in the space that we created, myself as well as her other students that were working with me at the time, to share it through the monologue exercise that I had them do.
Wow.
And there were so many pieces, profound monologue, profound, really amazing work on one end, but on the other end, how healing does that have to be for you to say the word out loud? If you couldn't even tell your parents, you've never told your mother, you know, all of these things.
Oh, wow.
And the value of creating those spaces. To just like, now what can you do? What are next steps? How can we get you to the point where you can share this with your family?
Yeah.
You know, is the threat still there? You know, it's like, let's go through this so you don't have to suffer alone. And the other part of that is, now that she's expressed it, it's a weight off her heart. And those exercises led me to do healing through acting, which is another workshop that we do through the Healing Academy and also Minds is Melanated in America. And so we do healing through acting, which breaks down and you learn some skill in monologue writing and acting. But the true point of it is specifically that exercise, to create a space within the attendees of that workshop, but also within yourself, to be real about what you're going through and what you're experiencing and express that. But for the other people listening, that's healing also.
Yeah.
Because we suffer in silence. And that's the problem. We go through these traumatic situations and we take it upon ourselves and we strap down in it and we feel like we can't say anything. We're the only person who's ever experienced this. We're the only person that's going through this. What would it look like? And when we get the opportunity to open up and share and understand that people will understand and be there for you and that it's not our fault, the people who are listening are healing, because most of the time they've gone through something similar and have never said it out loud. And then you get that space to actually say what needs to be said, and then next step in healing can happen after you say it out loud.
Yeah.
Healing happens when you're holding it in. You have to say it out loud. Healing through acting component is a huge, huge, huge part of it. And another incident, it was a young male, and it was, again, the adults. Both of these cases were the adults in their lives. a young man would come every day. He would be on time. His sister was also on the program. It was a great experience for him, and he loved it. But one day he came very, very late, like almost mid-program, but his sister was there on time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pulled him to the side, and we're like, you know, what's going on? You're always on time. Your sister was here. What's going on? And he told us that his father dropped his sister off, and he wanted to come in, but his father made him go with him so he can show him the ropes on the street.
Oh, wow. I'm sure that was traumatizing. But, you know, adults do things that they think are correct because they don't know any better. And how do you, as a child, explain that you felt violated by some of the things an adult did? And Michelle says, you know, of course, that she agrees, you know, force listening, make the parents listen. That's one of the things that can help in the healing process. She wants to know, where is the Healing Academy located and how can we support?
Yes. Yeah, I say, Michelle, thank you so much. That's one of the most powerful questions to ask the organization.
Yes. How can we support?
So we work all over the city of Chicago and Chicagoland areas and suburbs and abroad. So, again, our goal is to create those community centers and schools here in Chicago, but nationally and internationally as well. So every year we actually go with our board to a different city and state to make connections in that area. We've even sent my co-founder, Dion Victoria, to Ghana to start making connections on the continent.
That is great.
And so we're really trying to make sure that when we start these schools, we're going to, of course, start here. We're looking on the south or west side of Chicago, that we expand and that we continue to expand. So we're creating our own school system to negate, I won't even call it a school system, whatever we have now. It's not truly educating us. It's not preparing our babies for life. And, again, we have to think about it this way. If you continue to give, I'm going to just be real, the enemy your child, you can't be surprised at the result. It's been decades. It's been centuries.
Why are we doing this?
And it's not yielding the results we need. So it's up to us to make sure that we create these type of spaces. So south and west side is where we're looking to open our schools and community centers first. And then spreading out from there. We don't have a physical location as of yet, so soon we'll be able to start capital campaigning so that we can get a building and start that first community center in school space, starting with homeschooling and then working into pre-K, again through 12th grade, and then also doing some daycare. So for the younger babies, we start an early group as well. But we are about to receive a partnership, arts and park partnership with Mandrake Park, where we'll be holding the Between the Pages Literacy event on 38th and Cottage Grove right there in Bronzeville, which is fitting because that's kind of where it all started for us over again at the South High Community.
Yes.
So it's very fitting and full circle that we'll be in Bronzeville. So we'll have an office space there at Mandrake Park, and we'll also be holding a lot of our classes and workshops there as well. As far as support, so many different ways you can support. Again, we do classes and workshops and programming all through the year, most of which are absolutely free. So attend, share with people who need the workshops, the healing through acting. I also teach a healing through movement, and then so many other programs, classes, and workshops that we do that you can attend. That's one way to support. Another way to support, of course, is volunteering. So we love to partner with other organizations. Our list of partners is long, y'all. We know we're not the only people doing the work. So let's amplify you. We do a Culture of Healing Fair every year where the whole point is to bring out other nonprofits, other for-profits that are working in the healing and education spaces so that people can know what's available to them. And we do it in a different area of Chicago every year. We've done Inglewood. We've done South Shore. Last year we did Austin, so we went over to the west side. This year we're looking at far south over in the Roseland area so that you know what's in your community. So if you're a nonprofit organization and you want to partner and put on an event, that's the way that you can support and that we can help support you. If you want to be a volunteer, we also work with Talking Trash Community Cleanup Initiative. We do cleanups around the city. We're a huge partner with them. So we help people clean up their community. We help educate people about litter. So you can help with that. You can help with the Culture of Healing Fair. We do a gala and art option every year.
Wow, that is great.
Which is amazing. This will be our fourth year doing the gala and art option. And it's so much fun. It's such a healing, just commutative, beautiful experience with artists and educators and healers all in one space. We also give awards to people in our six pillars. So again, literacy, spirituality, history, art, health. We award people who are doing the work in all
that
of those
great.
Areas. So it's really a hub for all things that we need to heal and flourish. So you can buy a ticket to the gala. That's our annual fundraiser. There's so many ways that you can help. Of course, monetarily, if you have it, you can definitely donate. That helps do the free classes. But again, if monetary, if you don't have it monetarily, you take your time and experience. We're looking to expand our team into grant writing. So if you know anyone or if you have grant writing skills, so again, we can get the funding to continue to do this, get that building, and start the actual community centers and schools. That's ideal so that we can really expand and do the work on a greater level. So those are all ways that
you can
support. We Heal Heal is how you can support, and where you can find everything is there at the bottom.
Right.
We Heal Heal. Our slogan is We Heal Heal because we heal for real. Like
we heal heal. www.wehealheal.org. Yes. Go to the website. And, you know, there are a lot of, I guess during the pandemic, a lot of programs that had been in person went online, which helped them to continue. Was there an online presence with the Healing Academy during that time of I guess, seclusion and in which people, you know, couldn't be in person?
We had to pivot hard, just like so many other organizations and nonprofits and businesses. We had to pivot very hard. And so, again, we started in 2019.
Oh, wow.
So 2020 was just the next year.
Wow.
And when we started, when I say we immediately went hard doing the work, so 2019, we had to stop ourselves like, wait, we ain't got to do it all right now. Hold on. And we still run the same way. We slow down a little bit, but we still do. Every month there's several events. We got to get this work out here. We got to touch people. We got to heal. But we were doing events, program. And it was so much fun, but again, we had to slow ourselves down. And then COVID hit. So everything in person, the classes, the events, the programs, all the things, it was like, whoa. And we had just did March, that beginning of March, we did a panel discussion that was amazing. We had women panelists of all ages, and we still do something similar. Every Mother's Day, we do a Mother's Day panel, Mother to Daughter, Heart-to-Heart Conversation, where we heal from generational trauma through conversation. And we do the same thing for Father's Day. But we had just had an in-person event, and it was phenomenal. It was a packed house. It was wonderful.
Wow.
And then it hit right after that. It was beginning of March.
Oh, wow.
And so right after that, COVID hit. And so we had to reevaluate everything. But we knew we couldn't stop. Because people still needed the healing. I'm like, now more than ever, people really need healing. And so what we did was we started creating online programming. So we would do our Kwanzaa, again, through the Healing Academy and my company, Melanated America. We do a Kwanzaa program every year. So for several years, we did it virtual, where it was beautiful. And what we learned from that is where we're doing in-person events, we're touching Chicago heavily, which is beautiful. But when we do online events, we touch the world.
Wow, that is true. That is true. That's what I always remind people.
And so
It
was beautiful. So that pivot helped us really think of it that way, because those online programming, I'll use the Kwanzaa as an example. We had people from New York on the line.
Mm.
We had California. We had people from a little bit of everywhere. We even had virtual events where we had people from the continent, from Africa, and everywhere else. On these virtual platforms with us. And so it really made us think differently about our reach and our exposure. So we had to pivot hard. We created online talk shows. We were actually hosting a healing morning talk show from Q4 Radio called The Breathe Experience. And then once COVID hit, we moved it to social media. And so we still do The Breathe Experience. It's taken different shifts. But it's still there, The Breathe Experience. Now it's on Sunday mornings, and it's meditative. We incorporated a new show, which I host, called Free Your Mind Friday, where we're interviewing and getting
to know.
Free Your
Mind Friday.
Yes. Right? I loved it. I was that's it. I appreciate that. Free interview and get to know different amazing people. So business people, artists, activists, and it's really getting freeing your online through knowledge and really getting to know who they are and why they do what they do. healers, all types of amazing people we interview. And so same thing with that. So it's transformed, it's shifted, and we would pivot back and forth between Instagram and Facebook to making sure everybody gets a chance to see it, because some people are only on Instagram, some people are only on Facebook.
Yeah, you got to be multimedia these days. Yeah. Yes. Well, we got to take one last break. When we come back, I'd like to take a look at your upcoming event, and also what are some of the ways that people in the community can participate in terms of maybe skills that you may be looking for, or activities that might be good in partnership with the Healing Academy. So we'll be right back after this message, and we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And, of course, feel free to call in and comment, and you can reach us at 727-731-5192. And, of course, for those who are on our Blog Talk switchboard at 515-605-9325, just press 1. You're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and open your mic and get your thoughts. We're talking to Natalie Battles of the Healing Academy, and we'll be right back. So stay with us. Oh, wait a minute.
Fairs are the most exciting Black book fairs on the planet. Born in July of 2016, Soulful Chicago Book Fairs have both increased the literary marketplace for Black writers and given lovers of Black literature places to find books about the Black experience the world over. The main summer book fair stretches 4 city blocks on 61st Street between Cottage Grove and King Drive. Each block is characterized by its own genre, donning the works of fiction authors, nonfiction authors, and children's authors. The day begins with a procession of elders atop a float, demonstrating the book fair's honoring of community elders. The entertainment of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair has been second to none. Audiences travel to its Grammy-level stage, which has featured musical artists such as Eric. And many of Chicago's multicultural towns. The book fair's community stage sits equally on either end and showcases puppet shows, open mic sessions, and author talks for festival goers to enjoy. Aspiring authors have enjoyed the Soulful Chicago Book Fair's lineup of helpful workshops on publishing, writing for children, and legalities of the publishing industry and more. From its exhibitors to its entertainment, its workshops to its overall power, Soulful Chicago Book Fairs will continue to breathe literary life and prosperity into the south side of Chicago for decades to come.
Yes. Well, I love how you said for decades to come.
That's so good.
Yes. Well, you know, this is the thing. The work that we do, it is for now and the future. So, yes, this is
for decades to come. We're doing this work. And Deborah, our third Saturday host, says, blessings. Theater being used as entertainment is so therapeutic for people. Most like the lights, camera, and action. Yeah, you know, I found it. Improv, theater, acting, that really is very therapeutic. And you'd be surprised. I've worked with some students and they came up with some scripts. I'm like, where did that come from? But
and they had it. They just needed space and the opportunity. And we do improv as well. So, again, Healing Academy and my organization, Melanie in America, partners to do a SIPROV event.
Oh.
And so this was one of our first key events that we would do back to when we started in 2019. We still do them as well. And so SIPROV is a BYOB improv night. And so it's like healing in disguise, right?
Oh, wow.
People are coming because it's fun. We have a DJ and they get to sit a little bit and hop in there and have fun. But it's really healing. We would do it on Wednesdays because, you know, that's the hump day. And men are probably stressed out by that time, right? And you get to let it all go. You get to be silly and let your inner child free and have a
you
great
need
time.
You need a way to do that. Yes.
We don't, as adults, we don't get a chance to play.
Yeah.
And so it's a chance to play, which is healing for you. It's healing for your child. It's healing for your soul. Because joy is healing.
Yes.
We need more spaces to create just pure joy. And
yes,
so
and laugh and be silly. Yes. You know, and a lot of older people don't realize how important it is for older people, for adults, to laugh and play and just have fun and not be serious all the time. Because,
Yes.
That is a healing energy when you laugh.
Yes.
And Michelle says, awesome. Thank you, Natalie, for all you do. And she says, what's the organization you mentioned, Brown Books and Beautiful Spaces? Where is it located? Some of the ones you've partnered with.
Brown Books and Paintbrushes
is
the name of the space. Candace, I'm living like Miss Washington, is absolutely amazing. They partnered with South Shore Chamber of Commerce. So now they have a space right off 71st in Jeffrey where you can go, and it's absolutely free, which makes it even more amazing for our community. And it's a play space that's geared towards children of all ages. There's a small theater, so if you want to watch it, go in and watch shows and movies, that's a space. They have motor skills space where you can play with blocks and all the different things. They have a science room where you can build puzzles and do small science. They have little pets like fish and different things like that. They have the library and creative room where you can draw pictures and do different arts and crafts projects, but also just sit and read all of these amazing brown books that they have. And again, every time you leave this space, you can pick a book to take with you. And so no matter how many times you come, every single time you leave, you can leave with a book. You can literally build a brown library just from going to that space. And they have books for all ages as well. So from the smaller babies to the teens, they have amazing books to choose from, all brown. And so I can give the exact address for you, but it's right off 71st in Jeffrey in the South Shore area. Also, Brown Books and Paintbrushes. If you search it, it'll pop right on up as well.
That is wonderful. And the upcoming event, the Between the Pages literary event, again, tell us the, for those people listening, you know, and not looking at the flyer, the day and the time and the location.
For sure. So Between the Pages literacy event is going to be this Saturday, March 9th from 12 to 3. We are hoping that everyone of all ages come out. We have something for the little people, and we have something for the elders, and again, everyone in between. So everything we do is geared towards that sentiment, making sure that there's something for everyone. So there's going to be the book giveaway, again, by Chicago Police Department. They have rallied around so many books for us to give away. It's so many books. It was bags on bags.
Wow, that's great.
So we really appreciate them. Shout out to Sergeant Dirk for making sure it happens. She really, really is about community and pushing for community, and that the CCD is active in the community. So I appreciate her for that. And so we have so many books to give away again for all ages. We have Rising Eagle Comics, which is going to be there, which is a Black-owned local comic book company.
Wow.
Yes.
So
you get a chance to not only meet them, but hear a little bit from one of the comic books, hear from the creators, and ask questions. And they also help other comic book authors. authors and artists create and publish their comic books. And so
I need to come and meet them. I got a comic book idea. I'm going to talk to them about
that.
Come on.
It's free. Come on out. So they'll have people. We can purchase from them. But those conversations, again, are critical because our young people and us as adults as well, we do what we have access to in a way, or what we see we're more liable to do. So if you see basketball and you know, IG models and rappers and all these things, that's what you're going to aspire to do. But if you can see these authors come through and share the importance of documenting and telling our stories, whether it is biography or fiction, it's important that we're represented in this art form. And so I really love the range of speakers that we'll have, from Asada with Soho Chicago Book Fair, and she'll be representing some youth authors, so the young people can see themselves as authors as well. We'll be doing some storybook readings and conversations around story. We even did a literacy event, quick sidebar, with the Healing Academy, where it was a storybook reading for adults. So we read children's books, but broke it down and how it impacts us as adults, because as children, we read the books, we kind of get the message, but as adults, it hits even harder. So shout out to Marcus Aline with a book that he illustrated called The World Is Yours. I absolutely adore that book, and I would recommend everyone pick up a copy. Call Marcus Aline, message him, whatever you have to do, but that book is necessary in your library because it's so powerful, and it shows truly that the world is ours, and it shows the bond of a beautiful Black family visually, and just, it's amazing. And another one is the doubt book, right? And when doubt gets in your ear, and what do you do, and how do you defeat it? You scream, I am good enough, right?
Yeah.
And so these powerful books that are children's books, but the messages are so strong. So having that children's book series for adults, children's books, even if they don't have kids, right?
Yeah.
Get those same messages and have that conversation around it. Like, what does it mean? And all the adults in the room were buying those children's books. Let me tell you.
Oh, that's
like,
good.
And most of them didn't have kids. So those type of things. So we'll be doing some storybook reading and having conversations around those. And then again, when Blackness was golden, that true, real life story of Temoin Rami and what he experienced and how he's been in the movement since he was a teenager.
Wow.
Right? And how it's progressed well into his late age, and how he's still doing the work in different ways and using art as a catalyst to make change and encourage change, whether it be through film, through theater, through literary, through radio. He's done everything. So, and the amazing people that impacted him, which is one thing you'll hear him say a lot as he talks about the book. It's not just about his story. It's about the elders who rallied around and supported him and poured into him so that we know their name as well, which is absolutely necessary. And so we have that. We have the X's McDowell, which is Lifting as They Climb.
Oh.
And that book is so important. And I advocate for it. I said that earlier because it documents the history of Black women in Chicago. It documents the history of Black women in Chicago. Now, we have to be real about it. History kind of forgets the Black woman.
That's true. And if we don't tell our story, it won't get told. So I'm so grateful that she's put it in a book. Because otherwise,
so she did one. It was just women on the South Side. This one is an extension. It's even more women from the South Side and on the West Side.
South and West. Next time it'll be South, West, and North. Everybody.
What's really cool about it, though, really, honestly, getting our Black woman's story told by a Black woman is actually two Black women creating this. That's important. But what's really cool about it is that it literally is a map. So not only can you read about these women, you see the pictures, you get the addresses, the spaces that facilitated these things in. So in the summer, she would take people on walking tours
of these
spaces. And so, again, that's one of the ways that I met her, because the Southside Community Arts Center, because, of course, if you guys do not know, Dr. Margo Burroughs.
I'm so grateful that I came to know her and met her and was inspired by her. I'm just so grateful because she has such a spirit.
I never got the opportunity to meet her in person, but
she was one of the freest women you'll ever meet. I mean, you talk about walking your authority and knowing your power. She just exuded, like, I'm free. What can you do to me? I
You can't change what I've created. You can't make me not be who I am. You can't change the reality of my existence. There's nothing you can do. I'm going to say what I want, say what I feel, say what I think. I am free. And just do it. You know, there just was no, there was no fear in her at all. She just could be who she is. And that's, and I looked at her because I, she was like 80 at the time.
And was the exact same way?
And yes. Yes, and I just looked at her and said, that's, now that's what I want to look like at 80, just free, you know, have no fear of other people's opinions or worry about anybody disagreeing or condemning or anything, because you know that you who you are who you are and you've done what you've done, and your place in history is secure, so there's nothing anybody can do to make that not exist.
What will your legacy be, right?
Yes.
We call it a poem. That is not a poem. That thing is a dissertation, right?
Yes.
It is a long poem, but it's so good. And we at Mandrake Park had a Black History program, and the goal was to go and perform that to the young people and the families that were in the space, because we have to think about legacy. And I think if we truly thought about legacy, we would treat our children differently.
Yes.
That next generation differently, because they are our legacy.
They are our
legacy. And
once
you have or commit your life to teaching young people, if they're yours or not, we have to have a mental shift. It's not all about us anymore. And granted, you still have to be happy, and we teach workshops on that too for parents and teachers. Like, self-care is still important. You still have to take your time so that you can be your best for these young people. But the way you live your life has to shift in a way to uplift them, educate them, pour into them, inspire them in a way that once you are gone, that they will flourish in this world. And I think that's something that we're missing. We become very selfish as a society, and if we go back to roots like culture, African culture, right, the passage programs and all of these things, everybody has a role to play. And so as an educator, as a parent, you have a specific job, and you have to stand on that. Or
absolutely,
end up in a space in society where we are now, where we just have young people, for lack of better words, doing whatever.
Yeah.
Or lost, basically, is really what it is. It's, we're lost. And if our future is lost, it's because our young people is lost.
Because we haven't given direction.
We have to give them direction. So Essence McDowell will be there. She'll be talking about lifting as a climb, the extension, which is amazing. And we also have the young woman there. She wrote a book called Afrofest.
Oh.
A fiction book. So we have historic.
I love that. Afrofest.
We have the comic book. And we have so many things represented. And we also have DJ Bree Marie. She's amazing. She works with us a lot. She'll be DJing, creating some vibes, and people shop and mingle. And then two amazing performers and poets themselves, literary artists in their own way, Chernelle Lane, which also is an author, published author, and then Tony Mono, which is just a super deep, talented brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be doing some literary performances. So it's a great event, and I hope that everybody of all ages, because as you can see, there's a variety of things for everyone. Come on out and really enjoy this event. It's absolutely free. You can have some snacks. Listen, you ain't even got to be hungry, all right? It was a snack for you. Come get some snacks. And this word from all of these amazing authors, for sure.
Yeah, and that's...
And again, that's at Mandrake Park, and the address is 3858 South Cottage Grove.
38. Yeah, 3850. And if you're not familiar with the South Side, of course, it's time to get familiar.
It's right off Lakeshore Drive.
Right off Lakeshore Drive, yeah.
Right off King Drive. Once
they
King,
once they
Cotton.
Yes, right there. Absolutely. And I'm grateful that it is in the neighborhood. You know, people want to be able to have a place that's accessible. You can take the Cotton Grove bus if you're not driving. You know, you can get
right
there.
39th Street.
Yes. Take 39th Street bus. So, I mean, it's a place to be this Saturday, and that 12 noon to 3 p.m.
Oh, yes. 12 noon to 3 p.m. And I'm just saying, we make sure that all of our events are in the community. Some of our culture of healing fairs have been right on the corner in the middle of the block. Like, we want to make sure we're bringing the healing to where the people are. If we're doing it, and no shade to people who work downtown or up north, but if we're taking it to those spaces, then how are our people that don't go downtown get there?
Right.
You know? So we have to make sure we're right in the middle of the group. in the street sometimes. We do. We pop up at block parties. Like, we're like, where you at? We coming to you.
And that's a good thing to be mobile, because sometimes you have to go to where the people are. That's sometimes that's most effective, because they're comfortable where they're at. So a lot of times people hesitate when something is downtown and, you know, the atmosphere is like, we really don't want you people here. Because you can feel that, you know, and people don't want to risk feeling like they might be turned away or shunned, because that can be hurt. Yeah, you're not dressed right.
Parking even.
Like, yeah, can't find parking, or the parking's so astronomical, you know, all of that. So it's good when things are accessible right in the neighborhood, and for some people even walking distance. So we urge you all to come to 38th and Cottage Grove this Saturday, 12 to 3, and be at this event.
And bring the whole family. And
bring the whole family. Bring the whole family.
Grab a stroke. Hopefully it's gonna be nice outside.
Yeah, but you know, Chicago, you just never know. One day it's spring, the next day is winter. So we pray that it's a spring day. But you know, a lot of the things that you've said really strike a chord, because when I observe how our young people express frustration, most of the time it's because they feel like they're not heard, they're not listened to. They're scapegoated. It's like we're holding them accountable for this mess we made. We made this mess. They didn't. They were born into it. We made this mess. So for them to be able to speak freely without fear of reprimand in your programs, where they are able to, whether they act it out or say it in a poem or do it in a painting, whatever it is, they can express a feeling and have someone listen and care, that makes such a difference. It's like saying, I recognize you as a human being. You are valuable. So often they don't get that message. And we're so busy hollering, trying to make them do what we think they should do and make them behave and, you know, sit down, shut up.
Yeah.
Like you say, how do you learn to stand up and advocate for yourself when your whole life you're told to sit down and shut up?
And then we're mad that they don't.
Yeah.
Like, once they magically turn 18 and go into the world, we think they should know how to do these things, but we never taught them.
Teach.
We think they should say these things or speak up for themselves, but they've been muted their whole life. It's the conflict within ourselves that we have to address so that we can properly push them forward to prepare their lives. But at a certain point, children at very early ages were learning skills and trades. They took those out of school. You know what I'm saying? And with the Human Academy in our school that we're building, that's something we want to bring back.
Right,
you know,
because they can feel the power of being able to take care of themselves, to provide something that's helpful to society. We have to give them that empowerment, not make them feel like that they don't have, life skills.
If they don't have the skills, then they may turn to another avenue to feed their families.
That's what happens all too often, if they don't have a sense of community
around them, cheering them on and supporting them and giving them these skills, again, taking it back to African culture and what that really looks like and what rites of passages and trainings of those sorts really do, is they build a sense of community and you know someone, even if it's not your mama or your daddy, not you. And we have to have that, because all of these babies are our babies.
They are.
And we've been in this Western civilization, we've been put in these silos like me and mine, but all of these people are our people. You're going to have to interact with these people.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to live in spaces with these people. These people are going to have jobs. These people are going to be the older people. These people are, and if we're not pouring into them, then we're creating monsters, and then we're mad that they exist.
Right. We made it's like we're the Dr. Frankenstein making the monster, and then we're upset because the monster's escaped and is terrorizing everybody. But we made this monster. We did this. We created this.
We created this.
Right. So you know this is so we have to take responsibility for healing the hurt that we've caused. And like you said, a lot of young people will say the main stressor in their life is the adults who won't listen, the adults who mute them and silence them and blame them. And we have to face our own fears so we can stop projecting them onto our children. And some of this, some of that fear is that, you know, decades old fear of repression and suppression and oppression. We have to get over that.
Well,
we can't keep passing that on.
We're protecting them, and we're not.
We're not.
Like, at a certain point, everything goes back to slavery for me. My favorite question is, but why? Right? How do we get here? And granted, we have to take responsibility, but we also, knowing, I'm also a bit of a historian, knowing the true history, we know that we didn't just come to be this way either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everything
things
was passed
happen.
Down generationally, or not passed down generationally for us to get to where we are today. And at a certain point, we had to mute our children and belittle our children and make sure they weren't too shiny or make sure they weren't too talented to keep them safe, right?
But that
and
time is over, and we need to know that that time is over so we
Absolutely.
Don't keep perpetuating it. You know, we don't have to worry about the masters going to sell off our children anymore. So we need to stop
Exactly.
suppressing their spirit. They
Mm-hmm.
came into this world to be leaders and creators
and
providers. And they know that. And they're frustrated because we don't know that.
Exactly.
That's
Exactly.
what it is.
And I have a baby who's basically the same age as the Healing Academy, right? So that's why I say my baby. My baby's about to be 6 years old next month, actually. So he's five, and he's brilliant.
Mm.
Right? For me, what that really shows me is from the time he was born, I was specifically pouring certain things into him. The way I speak to him, affirmations that I would repeat to him, books that I read to him, flashcards. Like, I was making sure that he had certain things from a very early age. And so now he went to CPS school, homeschooled for so long, and he was in pre-K reading at a second grade level.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And so many other different things and characteristics that I noticed from working with young people that they don't have. And I know every parent doesn't have the understanding one and then the time to, because of the society we live in, most people gotta work two jobs just to pay the bills. It's crazy out here. So I understand there's obstacles that stop that thing from happening. Told me over time is that if we truly invested in our young people, where they can be and what they can do, if we truly invested, and that strengthened me within the Healing Academy even more, because if you can't do it as a parent, bring them to us and let us do it.
All right.
Like Michelle said, how can I support? If the community really said we need this school and we need this to happen at every level, from the garbage man, the school teacher, to the doctor, the lawyer, and the businessman, and everybody came together and said, we're going to make this happen for our young people. The school would exist. The community centers would exist. The spaces would exist. But we have to see value in truly pouring into our human capital, our future, and our legacy, which are these young people, and then really pouring up to do the healing that we need to do to be able to really prepare them for the life that we need them to live, to create the world that we all deserve to live in.
Absolutely. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Well, we thank you so much. We thank you for being with us, and we thank all of you all who have chimed in. We appreciate you so very much. You see the website, www.wehealheal.org. Go to the website and participate, and come on out this Saturday because you need to get some healing. Thank you so much.
We heal because we heal for real.
We heal because we heal for real. But thank you so much, Natalie. We appreciate you so very much. And we're going to greet our global family one more time and remind you all that we are one all over the world, and you are a part of the solution. We'll see you next time.
Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution,
press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa Sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadek. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.